Well, praise the Lord, everyone. I'm glad to be here. I am glad to be back in Wisconsin. Some of you may not know, but the Lord blessed us a few years ago in being able to start the church in Wausau, and we've never forgotten this state. I consider it a very outstanding district. You have excellent cooperation. Great things are taking place here and around the world. And I'm just excited to see what all God is doing in this day and hour in which we live. Now, I had a piece of paper here that I wanted to use in giving some information. I wanted to relate all the crusades that are taking place overseas and really what God is doing. Well, I thought I had it right here. I thought I did. If you will just bear with me, I shall try to bring it up. I had it with me this morning, I had it with me this afternoon, and now I can't find it. But anyway, a crusade took place in Madagascar. They had right in the neighborhood of 35,000 present. They had a choir of 1,000. Many were healed. Miracles took place. And over 1,000 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was another crusade in El Salvador, 35,000 there. They had it in the largest stadium in the country. 35,000 present, and over 3,500 received the Holy Ghost in that crusade. In the Philippines, they just had their crusade since the first of the year. They had, again, 35,000 present, 5,000 received the Holy Ghost. So God is doing some amazing things in these last days. And I'm just glad to be alive. I'm just glad to be alive and see what God is doing in this day and hour. Now, you may be seated because I could have you standing for a while, but I will have mercy on you. I want to give a report that came from Brother and Sister Mark Schutz. He is our missionary that's been in Belarus. He's been in many countries of Europe. And he related something that happened. He said, a group of believers had not yet embraced the oneness of God, nor baptism in Jesus' name. We were sent there to meet with them and help them with these truths. They asked us to join their church on Saturday for a prayer meeting. They had scheduled prayer meeting for 6 hours. During that prayer time, as people were speaking in tongues, we began to notice that some of their words were in clear English. By the way, they do not speak English. That is that country. And that country is Azerbaijan. It's a hard country to pronounce. It's between Russia and Iran. Very much in need of revival. But they said, during these prayer times, as people were speaking in tongues, we began to notice that some of the words were in clear English. We knew that they didn't speak English, and later we confirmed it. They were speaking in tongues, and some of the words that came out in English were words such as the Father, who is Jesus Christ. There is only one God, who is Jesus Christ. One man in particular was preaching a sermon on one God as he was speaking in tongues. Now, God's doing some things in these last days. He said afterward, there would be a pause, and then he would shout in tongues, tremendous. Then he would continue preaching on the theology of one God. During this time, I looked at Jared Staten, who was the other missionary with him, and chuckled. I said, you know what is happening, don't you? God is preaching a message on his oneness and then saying, tremendous. and then saying tremendous. That's God in this day and hour in which we live. And I enjoy working with our missionaries. We've got a tremendous group of missionaries. And by the way, the one from Wisconsin here, brother and sister, yes, and then you see when you get older, there are times when you intend to say something, and then here's what I was looking for. And I've already told you. Here we are, brother and sister McLean. Now, they sent me this report because we have one book out on Faith Promise entitled Faith Brings an Empty Basket. That is on people giving and how God blesses. The second book is going to be on the church giving, sending missionaries overseas, and then one miracle after another that is taking place. So this came from Brother McLean. He said, "We thank God for our partners in missions and for the many sacrifices they make on behalf of souls in far-off lands like Nigeria. Perhaps the following testimony will help you better understand how much your investment counts, not only in time, but in eternity. In May of 2013, Sunday, now that is a young boy's name, Sunday, he said he enrolled in the Bible school. He had been raised in the village and had very limited educational opportunities. Still, as a pastor, he wanted to better train himself for the people. Although not a remarkable Bible school student, he studied diligently, and within 1 month of his enrollment, he saw his need to be rebaptized in Jesus' name. At the time, no one at the Bible school thought much about it. Little did we know, Sunday was just getting started. We soon learned that Sunday was the overseer of 9 village churches and 2 preaching points. He immediately shared this message with his people. By the time Sunday completed his course of study in the Bible school, he had already rebaptized all 9 of his pastors, 594 members amazingly, and 348 members also received the Holy Ghost. In June, July, and August, Sunday baptized an additional 34 people while praying another 21 through to the Holy Ghost. Then during the last week of September, the missionary and the Bible school principal went to the village for a series of combined services to teach on the oneness of God and the essentiality of Acts 2:38. During the 3-day meeting, another 83 were baptized and 51 received the Holy Ghost. Over 1,000 people attended the evening outdoor services, and most crowded the makeshift altar when the altar call was given. Then they traveled home hours into the night. Many miracles took place, and it was too awesome for words. God did such a mighty work among his people. This is what your missions dollar support does. Literally, hundreds of thousands are being won to the Lord every month in Nigeria. Thank you for being a part of this great revival." And that is a thanks to this church as well. All that God has done. Praise God. Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be back in Wisconsin. In fact, I was telling your pastor just before church started, I was here about 10 years ago, and I told him I was impressed with one thing about that service that I've never forgotten since. And this is one of the first churches up to that time that when service was going on, people were coming up around the altar and worshiping, just like you did tonight. That really impressed me, and I've told other places where I've gone what I saw that night and how I was so impressed with the worship of this church and all that God has done for you, with you, and through you. You are to be commended, and I thank you for what you're doing. Praise God. Well, I'd like to have you turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and I want to begin reading with verse 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 41 through 44. And it reads like this. Oh, by the way, let me say, I'm glad to have my wife with me. She was not with me the other time I was here. And some of you may not know, but God blessed us in being able to start the church in Wausau. And we spent 5.5 years here. And then I was called back to the very church I left in Ohio to come here. So I'm just glad to be back in Wisconsin. Now let's read. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. And I'm speaking tonight on a question. Does God care about my giving? Does God care about my giving? You may be seated. Now, Jesus was in the temple watching the giving that was being received. The Bible lets us know that he observed a number of wealthy persons as they went by giving out of plenty. But then his attention was drawn to a widow lady that was with all of that crowd coming by casting into the treasury. Now, widows are spoken of many times in the scripture. This lady came by. The Bible says she cast in 2 mites, which is equal to 1 farthing. Now, a mite was the smallest of copper coins, normally equal to 1/8 of a penny. A farthing was worth double that, or it was a Roman coin valued at 1/4 of a penny. And we may even wonder, why did she even bother? If that's all that she was going to put in, why did she even bother? But the reason being, she wanted to give, it was all that she had, and she gave everything. Now, the message declared by our Lord on this occasion is that a gift is to be evaluated not by its size, but by a comparison of the gift with the total amount possessed by the giver. A large donation out of abundance may be less significant than a small donation out of poverty. Now, this widow gave the smallest possible gift, but it was all that she had. The Bible says it was even all of her living. But some in that group that came by, some gave out of surplus, not her. She gave everything. Now, many times, man sees what is given. God sees what is left. Man sees what is given. God sees what is left. A number of years ago, I was in a Wednesday night service in Columbia, Mississippi. And at the close of the service, a widow came up front and gave her testimony about the fact that she had no income, but she gave all that she had. She told me, she said, Brother Lehman, she said, I'm a widow. My husband was killed in an accident a number of years ago. He had not paid enough money into Social Security for me to reap any benefits. She said, I have no income. She said, I live with my parents, and that is how I survive. But she said, tonight, she said, I felt impressed that I was to make a $10 a month commitment. And so she said, I filled out my form and turned it in. And then she said, at the end, we all came up around the altar and prayed. She said, I walked back to my seat. I sat down. I opened up my purse. And she said, there was a $100 bill in that purse. She said, I don't know where it came from. And so she was excited about the fact that 10 months of her commitment had already been paid. I mean, it had already come in. Now, that card that you were given tonight, this faith promise card, this is not given to you to spare you about giving. Now, I realize that that giving is not the most exciting thing in any service, or at least to most people, until you start giving as God directs. Now, when you give as the Lord directs, there is a satisfaction inside that I have obeyed what God was directing me to commit. Now, so many times we get scared about giving. But do you realize that giving is a part of living? You cannot take your next breath until you give your last one. So if you don't want to give, that's your fault. But God will bless you when you give. Atlanta, Georgia in November. And in the service there, there was a lady that made a commitment in their Sunday afternoon service. And she later related that she was from Uganda. She was a mother of four children. She said, "I have no income." But she felt God direct her to make a $20 commitment. No money. It was a step of faith. And so this lady turned in her card and then went home. That afternoon, there was a couple from the church came by her house. And they knocked on the door and she answered. And they said, "We tried to call you, but your phone has been disconnected." And she didn't know that. But they came in. They visited a while, and then they handed her an envelope before leaving that they said, "Well, we just felt that we were to bring you some money." She opened it up. It was $280, which paid her year's commitment, plus there was enough money to get her phone connected back up. You say, "Well, why do you mention that, Brother Lehman?" I mention that because I want us to realize that God Almighty watches our giving. Just as he was in the temple when that widow lady came by giving out of everything. And Jesus saw what she did. He and the disciples were off to the side. And as they were seated there, Jesus saw those that were giving. And the Bible says he saw how they were giving. And to me, I can just see those coming by that had, you know, quite a bit of money. And they wanted to make sure everybody saw how much they were giving. But when Jesus saw the widow lady come by and kind of put her hand down in the pan and slip it off, Jesus recognized what she had given, turned to the disciples and said, "That lady has given more than all the others put together." I suppose the disciples must have kind of looked at each other and said, "Did he see what I saw? I mean, I saw big money going in that plan. But you know, you couldn't even see what she gave. It was so small." But yet, the Lord was impressing them. You know, it isn't the big amount you give. It's what you keep for yourself. I was in Houston. In fact, Brother James Kilgore passed away a few years ago. But he related to me about a little Sunday school girl in that church. He said her parents were not in the church, but this little girl rode the bus to Sunday school. And she knew in that Sunday school class, they always took up a missionary offering, even in the little classes. And so that morning, when this girl got up to ride the bus to Sunday school, she tried to find some money in the house, could not find any at all, but she found three little flowers that she thought, oh, that'll be nice to give in the offering in Sunday school class. So she came that morning with the three little flowers, walked in class, and told the teacher why she was giving flowers instead of money. She said, I couldn't find any money at home. And, you know, neither one of her parents was in church. And it really moved that teacher. And after the class, the teacher made a beeline for the pastor with those three flowers. And then told the pastor why this girl brought flowers instead of money. And of course, Brother Kilgore was a mission-minded pastor. And he said, let me have those flowers. I want to take him to the pulpit and see if I can get some money out of these for the missionary. So that Sunday morning, he held up those three little flowers and related the story. Then he said, is there anyone here that will give me $500 for these flowers? Now that was a brave pastor that asked that. And a new man came in Sunday school that Sunday morning, seated on the back pew, stood up. He said, I will give you $1,000 for those flowers. That man, that night, repented of his sins, was baptized in Jesus' name, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Because it was a little girl. She didn't realize what the results would bring. But that girl was willing to just let the Lord do a miraculous work in her life. And so God watches our giving. Now, as I said, Jesus was observing how they were giving. You see, some gave, but they had a whole lot left over. In fact, in the American Standard Version, it says there were some that came and gave of their superfluity, meaning they were loaded. You understand what I mean? They had a whole lot more that they could have been giving, but they didn't give it. But yet, that lady gave. You see, you know, if we as Americans, if we could realize the spirit of giving, if it could really grip us, I believe our missionaries would have a whole lot less traveling to do to raise their budgets. Because God does speak in this day and age. God really speaks to individuals. In fact, I'm convinced that virtually every service I go into and preach on giving, I believe God is dealing with the young as well as the old. God does deal today. You say, how does he do that? He impresses us. There's an amount that goes through our mind, and usually it's the first amount that goes through your mind that he's wanting from you. So many times we try to talk God out of it. Really, we try to say, oh Lord, a little less. I remember a general conference where one of our missionaries was there seated on the platform, and in the service they were taking up money for literature for overseas. And they were wanting, but one missionary seated on the platform said, God impressed me to give $1,000. He said, I argued with God. I said, now God, I've got 100. Maybe I could give 100. So he stood up to the microphone and said, called his name and said, I will give $100, and then he named his country. At the close of the service, he walked over to the edge of the stage, and there was a lady waiting for him at the bottom of that stage. He stepped down, and she shook hands with him, and she said, my husband said that whatever you committed in this service tonight, he would pay it for you. He was a millionaire. So, I mean, the missionary has, I've talked to him since then, because I never forgot that. I never forgot it. And he's related how that he's thought about that so many times. So many times. God wanted to bless him, but he just was a little on the stubborn side. We do get stubborn in our giving. You know, here at home, I would, even in the offering that was received here tonight, I would imagine that maybe we gave in the offering just because, well, I usually give a dollar, or I usually give $5 or $10. Maybe we never say, Lord, what do you want to channel through me? If we would ask the Lord, I believe there are so many more miracles that he would do, because he is still in the miracle working business. He is still in the miracle working business. In fact, I was in Humboldt, Texas, a little over a year ago, and it was that church's first time to really become acquainted with Faith Promise Giving. And by the way, let me just stop a minute here. I need to maybe just explain what faith promise is. Faith promise is where you as an individual, you ask the Lord, Lord, what would you like to channel through me on a monthly basis that I can help support our missionaries around the world? And that is how faith promise works, asking him for direction. And so in that church in Humble, Texas, there was a man there in his early 70s that had been struggling with leukemia for 7 years. Every year he was getting worse and worse and worse. And so in the Faith Promise service, a year ago January, he was asking the Lord for what he should commit. He made the commitment. 2 days later, he went to his doctor who had been doctoring for 7 years. And the doctor looked at him and examined him and said, sir, you no longer have leukemia. He was healed of leukemia after suffering for 7 years. Now, 1 year later, that same man received from the Leukemia Association a check for $2,000 with no explanation. And I told the pastor, I said, I think I know why that man got the $2,000. Because the Leukemia Association was probably saying, look what our treatments have done. This man no longer has leukemia. That isn't the case. God Almighty is the one that intervened in that situation. He'll do it in so many miraculous ways. And so tonight, I trust that the Lord can really give us direction as to what He wants to what He wants to channel through us. We were in Sturgis, Michigan, just last month. And one of our church this came from the pastor. He said one of our church members had to get their car fixed. It was going to be very expensive. He is getting it taken care of for $847, less than what it was supposed to cost him in the beginning. They had committed $840 or $70 a month for the entire year for Faith Promise. Just thought I would like to share that with you. He made a commitment of $70 a month, or total for the year is $840. He took his car in to need it repaired, and it cost him $847 less than what he thought it was going to cost. Now, God works in mysterious ways. God is a God that does so many things. You know, our missionaries, in fact, this past year, they were the number one giver in the fellowship. They surpassed Alexandria. They surpassed other big giving churches. But they were the number one church in our giving in the nation. Now, I just want to relate a couple incidents that let you know that our missionaries believe in what they're doing. A few years ago, my wife and I were in the Philippines. I was there for some Bible school work at that time. And Brother Johnny Wilhoit, who was an outstanding missionary, at that time he was a missionary in the Philippines. But we were at the hotel getting ready to go to the airport and catch a flight back home. And so Brother Wilhoit sat down and he said, Brother Lehman, he said, I want to tell you what happened to me when I was home on deputation. He said, I was traveling the East Coast. I was going up, and he said, I was going to the state of Maryland. And he said, I called ahead to get my schedule. And he said, they told me, well, Brother Wilhoit, you're coming right at our district conference. And as a result, we can't get you any services. Maybe we can help you on the weekend. And so he said, I arrived there, and he said, I had $2 in my pocket. And he said, they were getting ready to take up an offering. And he said, the Lord impressed me. Put your $2 in the offering. He said, Brother Lehman, $2 is all I had. That's all I had. And he kind of argued with God. But God, I've only got $2. And Lord, I'm going to be here this week. What am I? I don't know what he thought $2 was going to do, you know, to keep him the rest of that week. But anyway, he said, God impressed him. Put your $2 in the offering. And kind of reluctantly, he put the last $2 he had in the offering. Later on in the same service, the district superintendent was speaking to the church and looked back and saw our missionary there. And he said, church, we've got a missionary with us tonight. He said, I think we need to take up an offering for him. Of course, Brother Wilhart was glad to hear that because that could have been his answer. He said they took up the offering. At the close of the service, they came to him with the offering. It was kind of in a basket. And he said the man that had the offering looked at him and said, Brother Wilhart, we got a nice offering for you tonight. He said it was $1,002. God watches our giving. Another missionary was getting ready to come home for deputation, and he wanted to buy a motorhome because he, you know, as they travel from church to church, having your own motorhome does give you one bed that you can get accustomed to rather than a different one every night. So he came home and he looked for a motorhome, and he realized that too much. I can't afford it. I can't afford a motorhome. He was a little mechanical, and he thought, well, I'll buy a bus. Maybe I can convert the bus into a motorhome. And, he tried that a little bit, and that didn't work. And so he was driving the bus that was not complete. He was all by himself, and he was in Louisiana, and he had motor problems. He pulled in and thought that he had it fixed, and instead, they thought he had it fixed and drove another 50 miles. And finally, that time they told him, you've got to replace this engine. He called his wife and they talked and realized that they didn't have the money for it. But she was in the city of Beaumont, and where she was attending church, that church took up an offering for a motor for that bus. Sent it to him. He got it fixed. He came back through Beaumont to pick up his wife. And when he came back through Beaumont, he stopped at the church. And there was a man there at the church that came up to the missionary and said, I want to relate to you what happened the night that there was an offering taken for your bus. He said, wife and I had been saving $840 for to blacktop our driveway. And he said, when that offering was taken, he said, I just felt that God wanted us to put our blacktop money in the offering. So he said, we put our money in the offering. And he said, the next week, he said, Tuesday, he said, we came home from work and our driveway was blacktopped. He said, we had not ordered it. And he said, we didn't know how it happened, but he said a couple of days later, they came home from work and the blacktop crew was a couple of doors down, blacktopping that driveway as they had blacktopped the wrong driveway, and he got his free. There's something about the Lord. He watches us. Now, at General Conference this year, I had a young lady give me her testimony. I've known her pastor for a number of years. In Columbus, Ohio, and she gave me an eight and a half by 11 pages, single spaced. It was quite lengthy, but I've whittled it down to basically just give you her testimony. She related that when she was growing up, that she, her sister, and brother, they used to raise cucumbers and sell them. Four cucumbers for a dollar to pay their faith promise commitment. Now, since she was roughly 3 or 4 years old, and she's given all of these years, she's now around 33 years old, and a couple years ago, she felt like it was time that she started raising money for a down payment on a home. And so she had saved 2 to 3 years for a down payment, but her dad, who was a pastor, took up a special offering and made an appeal, apparently a strong appeal, because she said God impressed her, put your down payment money in the offering. So she put her down payment, so that meant I'm going to have to go back to zero and start paying again, saving again. But she said not long after that, she had a friend that was not in the church, but this friend worked for a company in Columbus. And she had done very well with that company. That company was sending her overseas for 2 to 3 years at their expense. And she had built a brand new 3,000 square foot home in a luxurious part of Columbus. And she was looking for someone to rent the home. Well, when she talked to this girl, Heidi, she asked Heidi, she said, "Would you like to rent my home?" Well, Heidi had seen the home, and she said, "I can't afford that home." And they talked several times. And finally, this girl that had the new home was trying to find out, well, how much could you pay? And they came up with an amount, and then that the girl with the home talked to her tax attorney, and he told her, he said, "Listen," he said, "you can't afford to rent your home. That will put you in a different tax bracket." So she came to Heidi. She said, "Heidi," she said, "I am going to let you live in my brand new 3,000 square foot home free for 2 to 3 years. Now, she was saving 2 to 3 years as a down payment. But she gave that to the Lord. And she had given to her a 3,000 square foot home, free, furnished, and everything for 2 to 3 years. God watches our giving. God watches our giving. And I know in Racine, you may say, "Well, Brother Lehman, you know, things like that don't happen here." Listen, things like that do happen when we give the Lord a chance. But that's what we've got to do. We've got to be willing to give God Almighty a chance in our giving. And when we give, it is not a one-way street. What I'm saying is this. It isn't just give, 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 give. That isn't it. The Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God Almighty will take care of our giving. Now, let me just make this statement. God sees our attitude in giving. You know, the early church in Acts 5 had a couple in that church, Ananias and Sapphira. The early church, they were bringing their money in so that distributions could be made. This couple decided, "Well, we are going to we're going to sell our property and only take one half of it, but say this is all of it." And so they came in to Peter, and Ananias, the husband, came in first, and he related his story. And Peter looked at him, and he said, "Ananias," he said, "you have not lied to men. You have lied to God," and dropped dead over money. 3 hours later, his wife came in with the same story. And Peter looked at her, and he said, "Sapphira," he said, "the same feet that carried your husband out 3 years ago are ready to carry you out," and she dropped dead over money. I believe God still is very concerned about the money situation today. In each of us. In fact, there was a man in our church in Wood River, Illinois, just within the past year, said God dealt with him about increasing his faith promise commitment by 50% and his offerings by 50%. And so he kind of wondered about that and thought, "Lord, you know, a family of five," he said, "you know, we don't have all that much to give away on." But when he made his commitment, the same week his boss called him in to tell him that they had made a little change in the way that they were, you know, giving bonuses to the employees. And his boss looked at him and told him that they were giving him a check for over $7,500, which was 10 times his yearly faith promise increase. 10 times. Now, many, many testimonies that I have received, many of them is where God blesses people 10 times what they've committed. He still watches our giving today. And when we are honest with God, God will be honest with us. Have you considered the fact that many times people will tip more in a restaurant than they give in a missionary offering? Now, why do we tip? We tip because of good service rendered. Now, who gives the best service? God Almighty, or that waiter or waitress that comes by our table? We need to consider, how are we spending our money? And I appreciate what the pastor has already said tonight. We are living in serious days. We are living in very serious days. And we need to just be very careful what we are doing. I want to give. Now, why in the world I'm in the position I'm in? I was not a pastor that preached on giving. But when I was called to go with foreign missions, the position that I was put in simply had me start traveling on faith promise. But you see, the love of money, the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And so I make an appeal tonight in behalf of our missionaries. Will you consider just talking to the Lord and say, God, what is it that you would like to channel through me that I can be a benefit to our missionaries? Because you see, our missionaries, they go overseas and they leave home, they leave the country, they leave family, and so many things. But they do it out of love. They do it out of love. Right now, we have in excess of 800 missionaries. That includes the fully appointed missionaries, the aimers, and then some other categories that have been implemented to get personnel overseas. But God is asking us as the church today, will you let the Lord bless you in miraculous ways? Now, Brother Sism, who I worked with for 25 years while he was our foreign mission director, Brother Sism loved India. Before he was ever the missions director, he spent 25 years in India. And then when he became our director, he came home and directed the office for 25 years. But every chance he got, he was ready to go to India. He was, all you had to do, just mention India, and he was virtually on his way. But I recall what happened on one particular trip that he took. He wanted to take a bunch of used watches for our pastors there in India. And so he had a friend in Illinois that had a jewelry store, and he had collected a number of watches to take with him. And so he left America with really a bag of watches. And when he arrived in India, he was able to get them through customs and everything. And then he went to a conference where the Indian pastors were present. And he handed out used watches for those Indian pastors. And so, they were just delighted, to get, used watch didn't mean anything to them. It was new as far as they were concerned. So in that meeting where they were attending, the Spirit of God swept down over one of the services, and many of those Indian pastors went and took the very watch that had just been given to them, came up and put it in the offering. And some didn't have a watch, but they would put a coat on, they would put a pair of shoes there, they would put many things just to help reach the rest of India. Later on, in the same conference, the Spirit of God settled down over that meeting. And Brother Sism related. He said that entire congregation started singing together in unison in tongues. Now, I've been in services where people would sing in tongues, but I've never been in a service like that. And probably I've never been in a service where there were commitments made like that either. Because God watches. And when he watches, he pays close attention. Is it done out of love? Is it done out of, feeling like they're forced to do it? But the Bible says, God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Now, in the original, it is God loveth a hilarious giver. God loveth a hilarious giver. Before I came with foreign missions, we had a girl in the church that her father accidentally shot her, and she had leg problems to this day, and that's been many years ago. She still has problems. But we were to the hospital visiting her, and of course, about that time, we were buying gifts for our children for Christmas. And I was getting excited about the gifts that we were buying for our kids. And we would buy, and I thought, oh man, they will really like that. And I was getting excited, and we were walking along, and all at once, God spoke to me and said, do you enjoy giving to me as much as you enjoy giving to them? It made me stop and think. I can give differently today than I have in the past, because God watches our giving, and everything that we give, He knows about it. Just like that lady in the temple. You know, she came by, and she didn't have the most to give. She gave the least, but she got the attention of Almighty God as He was seated off to the side with His disciples. And I believe even tonight, in this service, I trust that you'll give God a chance. Give God a chance to perform a miracle in your life. Now, these cards were passed out in the early part of the service. And if you still need one, if you didn't get one, just hold up your hand, and the ushers can give you one. Because God loveth a cheerful giver. And I trust tonight that we will give Almighty God a chance to bless our lives in giving. You say, Brother Lehman, things aren't too good. You know, things are kind of shaky. Listen, I'd rather give when they're shaky than give when it's flowing out my pockets. God's watching, and God watches each of us tonight as we consider, what are you willing to do, as God is watching each of us in our giving. Are you willing to give Him a chance? You know, giving is the only scripture in the Bible where we are told to prove God. Malachi 3:10. We are told to prove God and really see what He can do. The one scripture we are told to prove Him. So give Him a chance. Give Him a chance and see what He will do. And God bless you tonight, and I pray that you're thinking. I pray that he's dropped a thought or two in your mind. And so give Him a chance to bless. He'll do it. God bless you.
Amen, amen.
We're at district conference this week and found out that Brother Lenny Smith's daughter-in-law, his son's wife, was gravely ill, and they're in Antigua, and there were no hospitals that could treat her there, and so they had to fly her to the States. I think it was Houston, and it was going to cost thousands of dollars, last-minute thing, and you know, people just stood up and said, I'll give 100. We raised $4,600 just for the airfare, and then close to $20,000 for the Smiths in order to continue to work in Antigua, because I don't know of anybody who gives themselves more than the Smiths. God just smiles at that. You know, there's so many testimonies in this congregation alone, and many of them you've heard. But I read about a family who had a boy who was just 2 years old who had a brain tumor, and the parents had no money whatsoever. It was going to cost thousands of dollars in order to have the surgery. And the little six-year-old brother heard them and heard his father say, we're going to need a miracle. It's going to take a miracle, or he'll die. And so he went to his room, and he emptied his piggy bank, and he had a handful of change. I think it was like 55 cents, and he went to the pharmacy. And there at the pharmacy, he got up to the counter, and the pharmacist was behind the counter, and he was talking to apparently his brother, and the boy put the money on the counter. And of course, there really wasn't much attention given to him because he was involved in this conversation, but he kept banging the quarter on the glass. And finally, because the pharmacist was so annoyed, he said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Mister, how much will it cost for a miracle? Because my little brother needs a miracle." And all of a sudden, the man that he was talking to, his brother, says, "What do you mean?" And he said, "My little brother has a tumor, and we don't have any money, so we need a miracle." And the brother that he was talking to was a famous neurosurgeon, and he said, "I'll take care of your little brother." Folks, God's watching that little boy. He's watching us, and he's saying, "Prove me. What you can't do, I can do. But you have to start at some place. You have to." And I wonder, we live so far below our privilege, but it's all really about trusting God. It really is. Hallelujah. This has been a giving church, an outstanding church, and most of you have been blessed way beyond what we even deserve. If you go to a third world country, you see they have so little, but that's when faith rises up. Amen. So if you would help support our missionaries, God will bless you. And if you would somehow bring your card filled up here tonight, put it on the altar, if you will. You know, it's not saying that you have it. It's saying that I want to give it, and watch what God will do with your faith promise. Brother Lehman, thank you so much for being here and presenting this. I don't know about you, but my level of faith has risen by the testimonies of all of the good things. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. I want to put Brother Lehman's watch in the offering tonight. Glory to God. Amen. Do you love them? Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?